Hello and welcome back to the Scattered Abroad podcast. This is a podcast that we have once a month with the Scattered Abroad Network. Hope that you'll check out each one, which debuts on the first Sunday of each month. We're talking about assaults on the church this season on the podcast. This is season 4, episode 4, and our discussion this month is higher education. We have with us some good brothers this month, and we've got to my left Matt McBrayer. To my right, we have Drew Suttles and Josh Kennedy. Now, three out of the four of us have degrees in various schools, and so we want to talk about that as we begin. I went to Louisiana Tech and got a biology degree about 10 years ago. And what about you, Matt?
I've got a bachelor's degree from Emory University as well as a master's degree.
So. Okay. And then to my right, Drew Suttles also has a degree. Would you like to tell us about it?
Yeah, 2014 graduate, Freed Hardeman University, bachelor's in kinesiology, and then went on to the Memphis School of Preaching.
Gotcha. So we want to make sure and state this when we, at the onset of this episode, that we're certainly not against higher education. Again, three out of the four of us on this particular episode have degrees. And we want to make sure, though, and understand that with higher education, there's going to be some things that can come up that can be problematic. And that's where we really want to make sure and focus this particular episode. So an interesting topic indeed, guys. And with that, is higher education necessarily a problem?
Well, like you mentioned, education in and of itself is a good thing.
Right.
And I believe we all believe that and understand the importance of hearing and learning and growing. Jesus even said that in John 6:44-45. But it can become a problem when you have to ask, what's your why? What is your motivation for doing it? If I'm just doing it to say I've done it, or to say, look at me and look at this degree, then I've done it for the wrong reason. But if I'm doing that to better myself or to challenge myself to grow, then it can be a really good thing. So it's necessarily, higher education is a good thing, but it can be a bad thing.
Sure. What else, guys?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing inherently wrong with it at all. You know, I mean, obviously there could be some avenues of study that a Christian should not be a part of. You know, that might be a conversation for another day. I don't know. But, it's, you know, just to, again, you know, there's some thought processes of why you're doing it and whether or not that this is going to be something that's going to be beneficial to you. You know, growing is an aspect. Another thing could be like whether or not it's wise to do that. If you're going to go into, different fields that maybe don't require a degree, getting a degree might actually be a poor choice for you. You know, there's several guys I know that they went to school that just, we were all told, growing up that, man, you need to go, if you're going to go to, you know, if you're going to do anything with life, you need to go to college. And
right.
So, but then those same guys are driving a backhoe and they're making, you know, good money doing that. But they, you know, kind of wasted their time. And so there are some problems with it. But higher learning in and of itself is a good thing. I mean, you're challenging yourself, you're growing, you know, your worldview is enhanced, mm-hmm. you know, you're able to relate to people on a different level in some areas. So yeah, it can be a good thing. You know, obviously there are some problems.
Right.
Yeah, speaking as the one guy on the podcast who doesn't have a degree, you know, you look at this from the outside perspective and, you know, as you guys have all experienced, you guys know like the benefits of being there and of seeing those things. And one of the unique things I get to see is the benefits of not being there. And that's something that I think Matt kind of got into a little bit, was talking about this period of, if I decide to go, what kind of a position is this going to put me in? I mean, we see today statistically like 60% of U.S. jobs don't even require a degree, much less require you to go to higher degree as well. And so you've got that one aspect. And so I might need to be thinking about, is this wise in the sense of, well, is this going to hurt me financially? Is this going to hurt me in the long run? Is this going to hurt me in my relationships with people? Is this going to hurt me in all these different aspects that I've got to keep in mind for myself and see that, well, hopefully I don't get to the end of like a 9-year degree and say, well, I've changed my mind. I don't want to do this anymore.
Right. You know?
So there's a level of wisdom that comes into that as well, and seeing what do I need to decide to do here? Because just because someone has the letters after their name doesn't necessarily mean that I'm in a better standing than someone else.
Right.
So.
Yeah, young people that might be watching this or listening to this, it may very well be the case that it's best for you to pursue a trade school or something of that nature, and it allows you to be paid while training for a very specific skill for which there is very much a marketable skill that you can go be a plumber or go be an electrician, all kinds of different things that certainly do not require necessarily a college degree. So we want to make sure and understand, just from a wisdom standpoint, that those kind of options are available as well as going to college. And it really depends on the individual whether or not you would want to go and pursue that.
Yeah, I think that there's some good points that you made there as far as, you know, like in today's economy and in today's, you know, really just market of jobs and everything. I tell you what, if you want to make a bunch of money, go be a good contractor. Work on houses and do a good job with that, because we need more stuff like that. And, you know, you can kind of get started relatively cheaply versus, you know, going to get a degree and then end up going back and it's like, well, what was my degree for?
Right.
Yeah, there's some things there. And I'll have to say this too, I guess, to just kind of get this right out front. You know, I went and I got my master's. Now, my bachelor's degree is in Bible, which goes along with everything that I'm doing. It helped me out, you know, as far as just kind of finishing the degree that I had already started years before. And so I did that. But then I went on and got my master's. And I got my master's in counseling. That has helped me out a lot. But, I mean, honestly, I mean, if I could, I'd probably just go back and not do it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it, and maybe it's going to help me out like really well in the future. Maybe I go, you know, teach at a college or something later on in life, which that would, you know, qualify me at that point. But still, like I think about it, the benefit of it is minimal, really. And even though I'm a preacher, I'm working with the church. There's still minimal benefit from that.
Right.
I think people would argue with me about that, but I mean, I've used my degree some, but not nearly as much as I would, you know, just right. without it. You know?
Well, another problem I think that we run into sometimes is 18 years old, brand new to life, and we want to ship young people out and expect them to know exactly what they want to do with their life.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they do end up spending 2, 3, 4 years in college going back and forth with different degree plans, and they finally end up with a general studies degree, and then they go and work somewhere that they could have worked, you know, without even having the degree, and they ended up going into a lot of debt really for no reason when you really look into it. So I think we need to be wise when it comes to, if we're going to go to college, that's great. We need to make sure that we've got a game plan. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we've well researched it, and we're making sure that we're spending that time and the Lord's money wisely as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, kind of adding to that point too, just before we move on real quick, you know, you think about this position of I'm going on to this school at 18, 19 years old, you know, something along those lines. And it's more than just I am going off to the here and I'm going to get this degree and it's going to change my life. I'm going to pick whatever life route I'm going to take. That's also a unique set of challenges to put directly in front of yourself.
Right.
And a lot of hurdles that you can do as well. So kind of adding that to that mindset of I got to understand my limits. I got to understand where I need to draw the line and say, hey, this is a bit far for me to handle right now.
Definitely. You got to know what you're capable of and where you're at in life and mm-hmm. things of that nature. I want to shift gears a little bit. From our perspective as preachers, you know, every once in a while, maybe there's a big name guy, quote unquote, that comes along and starts saying some things that are a little off. And, you know, you wonder, where did he get that? Well, what's going on here? And before you know it, maybe they're starting to say some things that are just flat out unbiblical. And maybe we're wondering, okay, where is this coming from? Come to find out a little bit later, well, I've been reading this. Well, I've been reading this. I've educated myself on this. Mm-hmm. And it's not the Bible. It's the words of men. It's the doctrines of men that they've, quote-unquote, educated themselves on. I think this is a very, very important thing for us to realize that that is a danger of pursuing higher education for the wrong reasons, like we kind of mentioned briefly. Mm-hmm. And so I want to ask this question. What are some signs that pursuing higher learning may start to become a problem in our lives, especially for those of us who are preachers?
I think the biggest thing is when it takes away from simple Bible teaching and preaching. And remember that the common people heard Jesus gladly.
Amen.
Jesus had the ability as the Son of God, the Word who took on flesh. He could have spoken in such a way, you know, where it would have been over everybody's head, but it didn't. He said the sower went out to sow. And everybody that heard him understood that and grasped that. And people were drawn to that, into the Sermon on the Mount. They were astonished at his doctrine because he spoke with authority. But he didn't say anything in any of that that was just over their heads. The problem is when guys get to this level where I'm going to use this word and that word and I'm going to, you know, pontificate on every little subject or whatever.
Right.
But what good is it if you have a PhD and you don't know G-O-D?
Amen.
If you know Greek, you don't know God. You know Hebrew, you don't know him. If you're extending your education to higher education, but you don't land on higher ground.
Right.
You're missing it. And I want to read this from Philippians chapter 3. Here's the Apostle Paul. We talk about an educated man who believed in it, studied at the feet of Gamaliel. He's smart. But just take a moment and think about this. If you're at home, you'd like to open up and read it. Philippians 3, beginning in verse 3, Paul says, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, have no confidence in the flesh, though I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so." In other words, you want to battle with pedigrees, Paul says, look at my pedigree.
Right.
"Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." But then he adds this, and for gospel preachers, this is something we need to remember. "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ." And you can, you know, read down through verse 11, but I believe it was Curtis Cates who said, you know, you get a degree, that's great, put it in your drawer and go to work.
Yep.
And that needs to be our mentality as Christians. We can gain all this knowledge and that's great, but we're not doing it to bring attention to ourselves.
Exactly.
We need to be doing it to bring attention to God.
Yeah, I think if it becomes a pride thing, that's where folks slip up. Right, it becomes an idol. It becomes about inflating the ego.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, I've got a PhD, don't you know? Or I've got a master's or what have you. Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with having letters behind one's name. But if you're getting the letters behind your name because you want to increase a following for yourself or you want to make yourself look smarter, mm-hmm. that sort of thing, that's where you're treading on dangerous ground, especially mm-hmm. for us as preachers. We need to make sure and remain humble. Like you said, we need to remember that the common people did hear Jesus gladly.
Right.
One of the biggest compliments we can ever receive as a preacher, in my mind, is, "Preacher, you helped me understand that."
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And so we don't need to be lofty and act like, "Oh, let me show you what I know." No, we need to be humble and explain the scriptures in such a way that, like you said, the common people can hear Jesus gladly.
Sure.
And along those lines as well, you look at how Paul was. Paul said he's a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was the son of a Pharisee. He even described that in Acts chapter 23 and how he mentioned that I am a Pharisee of Pharisees, again, establishing his pedigree.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an impressive thing to say in that day and age because he would have had the best of educations under Jewish society.
Right.
Where I think we run into a lot of issues is we begin to almost idolize this idea of education in the sense of my knowledge of the Bible is not enough to establish that I know what I'm talking about because I have what God said. It becomes about, I've got to have this degree in order for you to listen to me. Mm-hmm. I got to have this degree in order for you to hear what I have to say. Well, that's not at all how this was described. I mean, you look at how the apostles were treated. There were people in that day and age who said, these men are Galileans. Mm-hmm. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't have the education that these Pharisees would have or these Sadducees would have or these scribes would have. They don't know what they're talking about. But the reality is, as preachers especially, and this is where we run into danger, our knowledge only comes from Christ. Our authority only comes from Christ, not the letters that we have. Now, can those be helpful in teaching? Absolutely. absolutely those can be helpful. And again, that's coming from someone who doesn't have that those letters after his name.
Right.
But it can be useful to help in certain situations. However, when we stop using it as a tool and start using it as a qualification, that's right. where we have a problem.
Right. Definitely. You know, I think there is an allure for some new thing. Acts chapter 17, you know, Paul used that idea to his advantage there with the Athenians. They were always looking for some new thing, and so that's where he preaches that wonderful sermon to the unknown God. And so the problem, though, is that many people are looking for some new thing when it's really, hey, what can I find that's new so I can make a name for myself and start preaching that? Again, sometimes the temptation with higher education can be, okay, I'm using it for that purpose, to find something new that everybody before me didn't know about. You know, gospel preachers have been faithfully proclaiming the word, at least in our country, for maybe a couple hundred years now or what have you, but they didn't know this, and I'm going to make a name for myself preaching this. And that, again, is treading on dangerous, dangerous ground.
I think the time factor is something you need to kind of think about, too. It takes up a lot of time. I mean, it just, if you're a preacher and doing it, that's a lot to consider. Now, like, I would say that, like, if you're getting your bachelor's and you're getting it in Bible. Now, when I was doing that, I was preaching, and I had already had several hours into a Bible program before doing it. So I really didn't have, I think, maybe, like, a semester or two that I did have some classes. But, you know, that the study kind of went along with what I was doing, and so it didn't really affect anything because, you know what, listen, I've been studying through this book, you know, I'm just throwing something out. Let's say I'm studying through Galatians for class. Well, guess what? I can preach on Galatians, and right. I don't have to do double duty. I can be studying this, and then I can make up a sermon, and I, you know, so, like, you can kind of do that. Now, I don't want anybody to think I'm down on getting your master's or anything. I think there's some good things that you can do with that. There's a little bit of a difference there when you get up to that level. If you're going to try to get done in a reasonable amount of time, you have to put a lot of time in. And some people were like, because I had five kids while this was going on. Yeah. Now, that was a lot. There were things that I just weren't doing well. There were times that I wanted to spend time with my kids. I couldn't spend time with my kids because I had something to do, and I couldn't do it. You know, another thing was that my work suffered a little bit because I couldn't put the effort that I needed it to into my Bible classes and sermons because I had to do so many things. And then people were always, as a compliment, people would be like, hey, you know, you're a real busy guy, you know, and I can't imagine how you get all this stuff done. And my simple response was, they said, I don't know when you sleep. And I said, well, I pretty much don't. You know, I don't do a whole lot of that because I get up before anybody in my family does. I go to bed before after all my family's gone to bed.
Yeah.
And so it just takes up a lot of time. Now, taking up a lot of time, you know, may not be a big deal to some people. You know, if you're single, you know, that's fine. You know, go ahead. Fill your time with some things like that. But we've got to think about this simple thought of, you know, from Ephesians 5 and verse 16, redeeming the time for the days are evil. You know, we've got certain things that we need to do as Christians, you know, namely, I think of stuff like evangelism. Well, if you're filling your time up with everything else, you have no time for that. Yeah. And so you really need to kind of think about that. I'll say this. I was glad my oldest daughter came up to me. She said she went to hear Joe Wells speak earlier today. And she said she was all excited because he said one of the same things that I say all the time. and she said, I haven't heard anybody else say it. And so she was so excited to tell me about it. And I got it from a book. I'm sure he did too. But I tell everybody all the time, listen, when you're saying yes to something, you are saying no to something else.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you better know what you're saying no to.
Right.
And so when you say yes to higher education, you got to understand you're going to say no to some other things.
Mm-hmm.
Your relationships might suffer. Your relationship with God might suffer. Your health might suffer. You've just got to make sure that you've got all this stuff out. You just like we talk to people about becoming Christians and counting the cost, you better count the cost of higher education.
Definitely.
You really do.
It's good.
Yeah, make sure that you're on the right track and you stay on the right track and you've got that plan. Stay on the right track while you're going to be pursuing the higher education. One brief thing before we move to our next point. Sometimes guys are pursuing higher education even from denominational seminaries. And I get the whole, eat the fish and chew out the bone stuff, but if we're being honest, a lot of guys are picking up false doctrines doing that. I would advise against that personally, but definitely you've got to be extremely careful.
Yeah.
Because that's going around a lot as well.
And kind of to tail off that real quick, a quick real point here, but you're dealing with that aspect of we like to send people off, and we like this phrase goes around a lot, and I think it's one we need to be very careful about how we use it. Because there is some truth to it, however, we got to be careful with how we use it. And that's this idea, you got to go be challenged.
Yeah.
You have to go be challenged. Okay. I understand that's a very true thing for some people. And yeah, absolutely. It's a great thing. Challenge is something that does strengthen us. It pushes us forward. The things we suffer, the things we deal with, they make us stronger in some ways. But the same weight that can exercise a muscle can tear it.
Yeah.
And so we have to be careful with how we handle these kind of things. Because if I'm a new Christian, or if I don't have a strong grounding in the Bible, and I go off to, say, this seminary like you were talking about, I might get a great education from there on a lot of things, maybe apologetics involved in that, and
right.
many different subjects. But am I going to be led astray because I don't have the knowledge to pick out the bones that
exactly.
you're talking about?
Right. Yeah. We just need to be extremely careful. So let's talk about, let's switch gears again and talk about some hidden dangers as far as young people who are getting ready to go off to college. What are some hidden dangers that very well might be involved in the college experience, as we say?
I think we can bounce it off, really, of what Josh was just saying. College gives you an opportunity to branch out, and it gives you freedom like you've never had before. I know for me, leaving North Georgia and going to Freed Hardeman, I mean, that's a long way away, several hours away. Now I've got freedom, that I haven't had before. But you've got to stay grounded, and you've got to stay in the book. You've got to remember what you've been taught, who taught you, and remember these things. You just brought out a point about, these untrained, unlearned men. But you know what they also said? These men have been with Jesus.
Yeah.
I think that's powerful. That's a greater compliment than so-and-so went to this school or that school.
Definitely.
Can we say, hey, I've been with Jesus? So the thing that the hidden danger here for young people is when you go off to school, you're going to have professors who are going to use that. Maybe y'all have seen the movie God's Not Dead or read the book. And, I think about some of the stuff in that movie and the professor trying to just put this young freshman down. You're not going to know this. You're not going to know this. But if you just stick with this and stay grounded in that, you don't have to worry about anything this professor's trying to say. They're going to use the idea of trying to intimidate you. But remember Romans 1:22, professing to be wise, they became fools.
Yeah.
Some can profess to have all this knowledge and all these things, but just stick with what God says and you'll be all right.
Colossians 2, verse 8 says, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy, empty or vain deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." One of the requirements, pretty much all colleges have it, you're going to have like a social requirement or whatever they call that. And basically, you're going to be having to take some classes in the humanities or social sciences or history or psychology, all these different fields that are loaded with secular humanism. You're going to be required to take a lot of classes like those,
yeah.
and they are going to try to indoctrinate you, if we're talking public universities. They're going to try to indoctrinate you in those vain, empty philosophies of men. You're going to have to be ready to challenge those and make sure that you don't fall for them when you are taking these classes.
Yeah. Added to it, another hidden danger that you might run into, and you're looking at these things, and again, I have seen some of these classes, I've sat in some of these classes, not necessarily taken them as a accredited thing, but audited classes and things of that nature. So you sit down in these kind of classes, and you have to remember that just like these public universities will try to indoctrinate you on some of these things, there's a lot of other maybe religious-themed universities who will do the exact same thing.
It happens.
So just be aware that just because these classes are there and they're talking about a Bible or talking about the Bible in any form of that sense, be aware that they may not have the same intentions you do.
Yeah, there can be a lot of modernism that creeps in even to universities even affiliated with the church. And so we've got to be careful about that as well. What are some specific anti-biblical philosophies that one might find in the university setting?
Obviously, right off the bat, I think probably all of our minds jump to atheism. Yep. You know, there's lots of thoughts with that. You know, even referencing, you know, movies that are about that very, you know, topic. Mm-hmm. But you know, this is a problem for people, because sometimes people go, well, you know what? I've got a really good background. I'm really strong. And listen, you know, you just don't know what you don't know. And you may be confident in the fact that you think that you can do this, but really you can't.
Yeah.
And so that's a danger there. But like atheism is a big one. I know. You've got all kinds of stuff that is anti-biblical. You know, feminism is one. You know, there's all kinds of, and just sexism altogether, because now the big thing is, if you know you're a white male, you've got something wrong with you right off the bat. And so there's lots of things that we could discuss there, but just rampant throughout the, you know, I guess the liberal mentality of higher education.
Yeah. I made a list. I've got worldliness, postmodernism or liberalism, wokeism is the hot term right now, evolutionism, materialism and idolatry, you know, just all these tons of fads that you just got to have this, and this if you're going to be cool at college. Mm-hmm. That's materialism.
Yep.
One of the first things that I remember being hit with when I was a freshman at Louisiana Tech was Greek Rush. And I realized that there are some fraternities and some sororities that are okay, like a very small number of them. But there are a lot of them, at least at the secular public universities, that were very, very highly involved in drunkenness and fornication and revelries, you know, wild parties and all these different kinds of things that are very clearly described in Scripture,
right,
as the works of the flesh. So if you go to college, especially, because I went to a public, state university, especially there, you're going to run into a lot of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But even, sadly, sometimes even in colleges affiliated with the Lord's Church, you may still find some problems, sinful type things that are going on. Make sure you find the right crowd to hang out with in that case, not the wrong crowd.
Right.
Any other thoughts, guys, before we wrap it up this month?
I've got one quote from Marshall Keeble that I think about a lot. You don't have to be overly smart to be a Christian. You just have to be honest.
That's right.
And you don't have to have all these degrees and go to all these different schools. You can know the will of God, and the truth can set you free.
Amen.
Yeah. I think about that a lot, too, as far as that mindset of just get into the Word. You know, even for preachers, you don't have to spend your time all in other languages and stuff. Get into that just English Bible there.
That's right.
And learn that English Bible and apply it and teach it.
That's right. Well, we certainly appreciate you tuning in this month on the Scattered Abroad podcast. Again, check us out at scatteredabroad.org. Make sure you go and like and follow all our various podcasts. We've got many, really, to choose from. We hope that you will give us a rating and review, and tune in next month as we debut another episode of the Scattered Abroad podcast.